Please take home a copy of our bulletin. And as you may have already discovered, we now have our new hymnals in our pews. What a great blessing it is for us to have them. I am particularly grateful to all of our donors who made this possible. I ask you to please pray for those that you may know, those that are known only to me, in gratitude for their profound generosity that has allowed us to have these beautiful hymnals in our pews, to yet be another sign of our stability here and our growth as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There seems to be among certain conversations that priests have always, if not an agreement, then some type of tacit conversation whereby all of us are slightly afraid of being known as fire and brimstone. No one wants to preach about hell. We want to talk a lot about heaven. Periodically, we might throw in purgatory. But no one wants to be known as the priest who speaks about hell. He must not be a happy person, a happy priest. Well, here we are with our gospel. As we celebrate today the dedication of the Church of St. Michael, the Archangel, the first of 10 churches dedicated to him in Rome, this church dedicated toward the end of the 6th century by Boniface II. And everything about what we celebrate in this feast and also what we hear in our gospel reminds us not only of the beauties of heaven and the desire that God have that we be there with him, but also the reality of hell. Hell does indeed exist. Contrary to popular opinion, even among some heads of religious orders who have publicly declared that hell no longer exists and Satan is not real. Satan is well pleased when we are convincing ourselves that he no longer exists, because that then gives him the upper hand. But let me dispel that myth. Because he does indeed prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And oftentimes, when you are beset with temptations, some of those may be of your own making, but some of those also may come from the minions of Satan who are seeking to pull you away from God. And the greatest thing that you can do to harm yourself is to somehow not believe in the powers that are arrayed against you. And as subsequent to that, then, not calling upon those powers that are given to you in order to protect yourself from Satan and his minions. St. Michael, the Archangel, who has defeated Satan and his armies, at the head of the angels in glory, continues to protect us and safeguard us from those things that are swirling around us to pull us away from God. The Lord reminds us in our gospel that the one who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the one who finds himself in heaven, is the one who is as humble as a little child. Not one who is childish, but one who is childlike, with confidence and trust, complete and total in the work of our Heavenly Father, placing themselves completely, willingly, freely, joyfully into his hands. And then wherever it is that the Father may lead the child willingly and joyfully, peacefully, trustingly goes and follows. This is how we are to be. After all, we are God's children, his sons and daughters through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the sacrament of baptism, sealed and confirmed in confirmation, restored and nourished in the mystery of the most holy Eucharist. If we are God's children, then as the Lord enjoins, we must be humble and pliable. We must take on ourselves that wonderful cloak of humility that then prepares us to be draped in all of the virtues that God wishes to bestow upon us, which assist us in living the life to which God calls us. This is what God wants and desires for us, and has given us everything possible to make this happen. But then, as he says in our gospel, he wants us to be guarded against, to prepare for. It is better that we avoid sin to the point of cutting off our limbs and plucking out our eyes. Now, scripture scholars will tell us that the Lord does not actually mean for us to cut off our limbs and pluck out our eyes. I'm not so sure, but I'll take their word for it. But I do know this. The Lord does intend for us to take so seriously The avoidance of scandal, either that scandal created by our own sinfulness or the scandal that our sinfulness may cause others, that we need to protect ourselves to the point of plucking out our eyes and chopping off our limbs. The Lord says, scandals come, but woe to the one by whom the scandal arrives. These are words that are profoundly necessary in the life of the church today, but they also are necessary for each one of us as well. For as much as we know there are so many things swirling around the church and inside of the church, reform always begins and will find its greatest success when each of us is diligently seeking to be converted on a regular, daily basis. And in that way, we become not signs of scandal, but the sign of contradiction to which we've been called again by that great sacrament of baptism. But we have to take seriously the rooting out of sin, lest we find ourselves in Gehenna, fully intact, arms and legs, eyes and ears, but separated from God for all eternity. And the real question, brothers and sisters, that exists before us, especially as we celebrate St. Michael, who does indeed defend us, and the Lord's preaching and proclaiming the reality of hell, is do we actually believe what we hear in sacred scripture? Do we believe that prayer, asking for St. Michael's intercession, asking St. Michael to guard and protect us? Or are these mere pious platitudes that we repeat because we believe that's what people expect from us, but don't truly understand the transcendence of God, who is indeed in his heavens and who desires in the fullness of time for us to share that heaven with him, but also then to guard ourselves from the reality of hell, which can come to us not because God wants that, but because we don't cooperate with the graces that God bestows upon us. Now, lest you leave overwhelmed by fear. That's always the concern as well. When you preach hell, it frightens people. Well, it should frighten us. But it should never frighten us into inaction or inertia or spiritually being frustrated. Because we have something greater than Satan, who prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls. We have the mystery of our Lord in the most holy Eucharist, the one whom we are about to receive. We have the new and everlasting life that he has gained for us upon the cross. And we have his angels and his saints, most especially Saint Michael, to safeguard and to protect us. We are well armed if we use the armaments that God has bestowed upon us. And this battle, and it is a battle, and each one of us is engaged in this battle, whether we choose to be or not. It is a battle that indeed not only can be won, but now has been won in the mystery of our Savior. So in addition today to our usual conclusion of Holy Mass by asking our Blessed Mother's intercession, we will also pray the St. Michael prayer as a community, mindful that we should pray this on a daily basis, not only at the end of Holy Mass, but throughout the day, to call upon this great intercessor with his sword of power, who has struck down Satan and will strike down those minions that seek to pull you from God. We are not alone in this battle. We have never been alone in this battle. But God wants us to take our rightful place in it and play our particular and unique part in it. And so what does that involve for us? A life of humility that opens up a life of virtue, that allows us to be that which we have become by virtue of our baptisms and by God's intention and providence, his holy sons and daughters. Let us rejoice in the dignity that has been bestowed upon us. Let us ask St. Michael's intercession in order that we can protect and safeguard and strengthen our dignity. And through his intercession, let us pray that we too will take our place in God's holy kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.